The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're nearing the conclusion of the Easter season, and this Sunday, this weekend, is typically known as Ascension Sunday because last Thursday was Ascension Day, which partly is accounted for us in our first lesson this evening. Ascension Day is a big deal in many parts of the world. It's one of the great festivals of the Christian Church, but in our circles, particularly in North America, Ascension Day doesn't get much attention. It is the account of when Jesus, having come into this world as God's Savior, incarnation, came into this world, lived, taught, died, rose again, fulfilled God's mission on earth, and now finally, after 40 days, we're told, he returns to the Father. It's so important that Luke records it twice. Once at the end of Luke's Gospel, and second time again at the beginning of Volume 2, the Acts of the Apostles. So apparently it was an important thing for the early Christians as well, that Jesus, completing his ministry, now goes to be with the Father and to receive all glory and honor due him for the work that he has done, the work of salvation. Ascension Day is a difficult one for Western minds, for 21st century people, because it seems to reflect a very different worldview. More about that in a second. We tend to like to put things into categories, don't we? As kids, kids put things in their mouth automatically to see if is it food? Oh, it's not food. We put things into categories. It's part of our evolution. From the very beginning, we see something and we look at it. Is that animal good to eat, or is it going to eat me? Two categories. One is good, one is bad. Categories. Is that a friend on the horizon, or is that an enemy? Categories. Good, bad. Well, in our story here, The scientific mind hears Jesus levitating up into the clouds, off into heaven, and we think that's not very true, because we know that heaven isn't above the clouds. You know, we've got the Hubble telescope and all of that. We know that heaven isn't up there. You know, so we hear that story and we start to think, well, that's an anachronism. That maybe even means it's not really true. Bill Maher is one of my favorites. He likes to say, you know, when have they seen in the Hubble telescope, when have they found heaven yet? If it's up there, like the Bible says, why haven't you seen it yet? We put things into categories. True, untrue. You agree with me, you're right. You disagree with me, you're wrong. You agree with me, you're good. You disagree with me, I'm bad. You're bad. Categories. What follows is some really bad jokes, so it's all right to moan. Woody Allen said there's two kinds of people in the world, good and bad. The good sleep well at night, but the bad have much more fun in the daylight. Two kinds of people in this world. This one's for the mathematicians among you. There's two kinds of people in this world. People who understand 10 and 1. Binary, 10, 1. I know. We put things in categories. Two kinds of people, two kinds of things, true or untrue. We hear this story in these same kind of categories. This must not be true. I would say to you that this story is absolutely true, but in a different context. You know that the ancient world, they had a very different view of the cosmos. They understood a three-tier world. Heaven was up, there was a firmament, a big dome, and it was blue, and beyond that was where God was, heaven. And earth, that's where we live, and beneath us is the place of the dead, that's where the dead go. And ne'er the twain should meet. Now occasionally some folks would travel back and forth. Enoch or Elijah, you remember Elijah went up in a fiery chariot, and Jacob had his ladder where the angels kind of climbed up and down in his dream. But basically, heaven was there, earth was here, and ne'er the twain shall meet. And here you have this account of Jesus coming to earth as God's Son, and returning to heaven. So for the people of the day, it made absolute sense that Jesus would rise and go to the Father in heaven. Up was good, down was bad. Now, that explains why the account in Luke and in Acts, you know, has that strange image of Jesus levitating to return to the Father. Now, the problem with that we might dismiss that as being not true. Jesus returns to where God is. But the real danger of that is that we put these into categories. And if God is up there, then God is far away, far removed from us. That ancient worldview might even linger for us, because we put things in categories. Up is good, that's where God is, down is where we are, and ne'er the twain shall meet. Actually, the coming of Jesus breaks down that categorization, breaks down this idea that there's a separation between heaven and earth, that there's a separation between us and God. We like to put things into categories, but Jesus broke those categories down. You see, now God has come to be with us. And even though he's returned to his glory as part of the Godhead, God is not far away. God is not distant any longer. That's what the incarnation was about. That's what the ascension is about. That the barriers between heaven and earth really have been broken down. There is no longer where God is and where God is not. Where Jesus is on earth in his earthly ministry, but now he's gone out of sight. You know, he's left the building. Far from it. God is now with us, always with us. Jesus taught many times that the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus himself, even before he left in Matthew's gospel, said, I am with you always. Maybe you won't see me. Maybe I'm out of your awareness, but I'm with you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you, he said. Last week, we got the very first inkling of Jesus imparting his Spirit to his disciples. And next Sunday is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God is poured out upon all people here, all the disciples and all the followers of Jesus. That's the very power and presence of God poured out on all of us. There is no longer places in our lives or in our world where God is not, where Jesus is not. This is important stuff, folks, that God is not absent, that God is not distant, God is not far away, because God now is with us always. Jesus is present all the time, all around, at hand, near. The end of Matthew, he talks about how he is present in the least of these, the hungry, the poor, the thirsty. He talks about how I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. When you face struggles, when you face trials, troubles, and you think God is far away, far distant, far removed from your concerns, not at all. He walks beside you through your joys and your sorrows and your troubles. The amazed disciples learned that. They didn't recognize him when he was walking right alongside them. The barriers are broken down between heaven and earth, and Christ is present among us always and everywhere. Lutherans particularly understand the presence of Jesus, the presence of Christ. We call it the real presence. Jesus is present wherever the word is preached, wherever the gospel is proclaimed. Jesus is present in simple things like water and bread and wine. Jesus is really present in the body of Christ, in you and in me, his Spirit poured out upon us. Heaven and earth are no longer separate. The barriers have been broken down. In spite of that ancient worldview, the whole point of the incarnation and the ascension is that God is now come to dwell with us, to be with us in all things, in everything we face. He didn't go away. He is still here in a more powerful way. Maybe a better way to express this in a 21st century context was the way that a BBC story of the life of Jesus concluded. It was maybe 5-6 years ago on a BBC story of Jesus, and it was a typical Jesus movie up until the very end, where you might have expected Jesus to ascend into heaven as the biblical story tells us. But in this one, Jesus leaves the disciples and he walks slowly away into the crowd. And pretty soon he's part of the crowd and you can no longer see him anymore. But he's there. He didn't go anywhere. He's still among us. I think that is just as good a description of what the ascension means, and most importantly, what it means to say that Jesus is really present among us. For he is. Still, even now, and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.